Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And, hey, you know, coming up, March Madness. We might have to be talking about some basketball over the next couple of weeks. Everything sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Initially today, I was hoping I'd have a return Dr. Sean McMillan, the orthopedic surgeon, been a previous guest. He had to cancel at the last minute. So I'm going to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is included in the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. And we're going to talk about the epidemic of overuse and repetitive motion injuries in youth sports, both physical and mental. And a little bit later on, we're going to welcome back Dr. Mylene Ryobi. I hope I pronounced the name right. She was a guest before, functional medicine, integrative medicine, the Ryobi Institute, and she's somebody who really blends Eastern, Western medicine for a really, really new age. And she's an anti-aging specialist, and she's also an author, a couple of books. And then it's going to be me and the Sports Doctors in, where we'll answer some emails, talk about some upcoming shows. So the topic, one of the big reasons that I wrote the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with my co-author Sharkey Zartman. Sharkey's a Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's a kinesiology professor in California. Both her daughters were Division I athletes. So not only was she a champion, she was the mom of a couple of champions. If you're a Division I player in any sport, you're already very, very special. One of the big reasons that we collaborated was the fact that there is an epidemic of overuse and repetitive motion injuries in youth sports today. Overkill, too much, too aggressive schedules. The demand on some of these youngsters is out of hand. And when we try to play hurting, when we're dealing with minor problems where we don't back off, one of my favorite phrases in the book is called intelligent rest, which means, again, being smart enough to back off when we're dealing with problems. And the other side of these repetitive motion injuries, think of a pitcher. Think of volleyball, using the shoulder the same way. Think of swimmers with shoulders. And these repetitive motion problems, again, in youth sports, because of the $15 billion a year industry that it's become. So when we're talking about overuse injuries and some of the common areas that we would see in sports podiatry would be heel problems in young boy or girl athletes, might be so-called shin splints. In some of these kids, we might see runners and jumpers' knees. We might see anything that's persistent many times starts to fall into the category of what we call overuse. Injuries happen, and some injuries, which we all can identify with, are acute. It just happened. Someone turned their ankle. It came down wrong. It was all sorts of examples of acute, just happened injuries. Overuse injuries are a different animal. Overuse injuries are kind of vague, kind of gradual. Sometimes, Dr. Weil, I don't remember any specific incident. I just remember my ankles really starting to hurt me with all the running and jumping that we might be doing. So in overuse injuries, again, they can fool us, and they also can become much more persistent, much more ongoing if we see that we don't jump on them sometimes very early or as early as possible. One of the big-time chapters, and again, I'm concentrating on my part of the book, which is the sports doctor's in. Not that we're overusing it because that's the third segment today, but the idea, one of the chapters is youth sports and drugs. This is a big deal with youth sports. We're talking about way overuse of over-the-counter pain medicine, anti-inflammatory medicine, let alone the supplements and that whole other side, but mostly the over-the-counter where we see that we're dealing with discomfort and pain and trying to get through it. I tell parents all the time, and underline it, listeners, if your son or daughter needs pain medicine to continue playing, you're over the line. Now, there are exceptions where we're dealing with competitions and certain very serious kids in some ways, if supervised, you know, by their doctor or trainer, where we might see that, yes, we are taking some anti-inflammatories, or yes, we are continuing to try to play, et cetera. But most of the time in recreational leagues, we are out if we're talking about needing pain medicine. And you'd be surprised at how persistent this is. This is why one of the big reasons where it starts early, again, in a society like ours, where television hammers us all day, TV advertising of drugs, pain medicine, over-the-counter medicine, and everybody knows the nightmare that our society is dealing with the opioid dash pain pill crisis. Pain pills and the misuse and the overdoses and this nightmare. That attitude that a pill will solve everything. One of the big points I make, when we're talking overuse or repetitive motion injuries, is many times we would see that the treatment might be different than acute injuries. And for years, of course, the acute injury treatment was ice, rice, rest, ice, compression, elevation. A moniker made famous by the famous Dr. Gabe Merkin, was a sports medicine doctor, author in the 90s, maybe I'm misdating him, and my frequent radio guest, author of the book Iced, Gary Reinel, has really brought to the forefront the reality that ice doesn't help anything. Surprise, surprise. It does numb an area, and it can have that kind of value. After that, it's counterproductive. It shuts down the body's natural healing. And I talk a lot about that in the chapter on injuries when I'm mentioning acute injuries where, and Gabe Merkin, by the way, wrote the foreword to Gary Reinel's second edition of the book Iced, I-C-E-D. Dr. Merkin said, you know what? I invented the term RICE, and you know what? I was wrong. This is something that's catching on dramatically, but it reminds me of my famous colleague, Bob Guida, the famous sports kinesiotherapist who worked with those superstars from everywhere, as Gary Reinel. And Bob, in the 70s, talked about that stretching might be counterproductive. That there wasn't any evidence that helped anything. They came after him, man, with volumes in the sports medicine and whatever field it ends up. He was 95% right. And Gary Reinel's taken a lot of slings and arrows because ice is, you can't watch a game without seeing the ice pack, et cetera. There are better methods for healing, even acute healing, called muscle activation. Imagine someone sprains an ankle, And initially, again, maybe with the use of Visiv, there's initial numbing and whatever because of pain. And after that, muscle activation might be that that individual is moving their toes. Of course, we want any injury evaluated. But in general, that injury and that individual might be able to move their toes, might be able to move their ankles slowly up and down. Motion is effective in stimulating the exchange of fluids as inflammation happens. So that's a huge revelation in the book when we talk about, again, some of the treatments with these overuse injuries. And again, examples are heel and arch discomfort in these young athletes. Young kids have a large growth center in the back and bottom of the heel, and it's susceptible to stress. The medical term has been called Sievers disease. Disease was never a good word. It's a syndrome. It's inflammation of that growth center because you were jumping up and down or you're doing too much running and it got aggravated. Maybe your son or daughter's playing soccer. They've got cleats on the bottom of that area. And oftentimes we'll see that that's something that's gradual and becomes persistent. Again, or something like we mentioned with the shin splints from all the running and all the jumping, where the bottom of the leg, the front end part of the leg is hurting. One of the big points I want to make, and by the way, everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're live from Chicago. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back years and see topics, guests, listen to whatever you would like. The production's great. You could zip over to newspaper articles and magazine articles, and you could read my latest editorial in the Lower Extremity Review talking about the team approach in sports medicine. You could read articles on the challenges of high heels. You could read things about what's the best shoe. And you could read a lot about the concussions and the challenges of head problems in sports medicine. Check that out. Again, we have a big following on Twitter, over 30,000 followers. We post a lot of great educational content. It's, besides who the guests are and everybody, of course, the Sports Doctor is rebroadcast the following week on UK British Health Radio across the pond. So check that out or at Sports Doc, DOC Radio is the moniker for Twitter. So again, overkill, pushing these young kids sometimes to play hurt and running into the kinds of problems that can become persistent. The famous Little League elbow that we've all seen over the years. It's amazing. It's still a major injury concern. With all of the great attention to sports medicine, and prevention and coaching and camps. This is, you know, the youth sports is a $15 billion a year business. A lot of it's great. A lot of it's terrific. Most of the parents I meet are great and they're terrific and they mean well. But we don't have to go far to see the examples of the Little League parents and the overzealous coaches and even the abuse in youth sports, which we are all aware of over the past couple of years, is just, it's alarming. It's alarming. I call some of the overzealous coaches in hashtag Hey Sports Parents, I call them Svengali coaches because they are overdoing it in so many different areas. So one of the weapons we have, again, when we start to see these overuse problems is we're telling parents, get it checked out. Foot or ankle problems, see podiatry, check with the athletic trainer, go pass by your pediatrician and or a general practitioner to be able to evaluate, you know, what's going on here. Usually, again, intelligent rest. If we're hurting, we need to back off. We need to back off a couple of weeks if we see that we're dealing with runner's knee or shin splint problems. You can't run through it. You can't jump through it. So you got to back off. How much? Depends on what we're dealing with. One of the smartest things sports parents can do is, especially if their son or daughter specializes. And one of the chapters in the book, it's one of my favorite groups of kids because I've been dealing with figure skaters, as a lot of our listeners know, for, gosh, almost four decades. And it's amazing. It's 9 years ago that Evan Lysacek, who grew up here, Naperville, Illinois, he was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. Like 14 years later, he was the Olympic gold medalist 2010. We just passed the ninth anniversary. Holy cow, the time flies that regard. So again, the challenges with some of these overuse problems is rest. And when we've got schedules, we've got demands. And there are serious schedules in youth sports where, you don't understand Dr. Wild. She's competing next week. Or, we can't back off. I have a young girl. She's a great figure skater. She's at national level. She's 12 and a half years old. She already does triple jumps. She works with a personal trainer 5 days a week besides the skating. It's a little much. And sometimes we get into the thinking that more is better. It isn't necessarily. So if we've got problems, we want to check them out. We're always in an intelligent hurry in sports medicine. We just don't want to allow a simple overuse problem to get blown out of proportion and take months and months to calm down or go away. Something that's amazing today is the famous Tommy John surgery. Everybody knows Tommy John surgery, the famous baseball player, one of the most successful surgical procedures in sports medicine. Tommy John surgery today is done on teenagers on occasion. 13, 14, 15-year-olds already who were overdone it so much that the tendons shot. So we've got to be very, very careful of the more is better. And as we start to specialize, this is a big problem when we're dealing with overuse injuries. We would love all boys and girls to play multiple sports. Love it. And maybe specialize when they're 15, 16, maybe 14 if at all possible. In the prodigy sports, think gymnastics, think dance, think figure skating, tennis and soccer, where that boy or girl, that's all they want to do 5 days a week, where we start to see repetitive motion problems. We really, really recommend very, very highly see a physical therapist and get that boy or girl evaluated so that they're on a great strengthening program as best as possible. One of the big chapters in my book is called The Two Essential Exercises for Youth Sports. I don't care what the sport is. I don't care what your son or daughter's age is. I don't care what their level is. Balance exercises, stability work, rubber bands, strengthen those feet and ankles. So pay attention. Get some screening, foot ankle problems, see podiatry when we're talking about the epidemic of overuse and repetitive motion injuries in sports. I will be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Hey, a fellow New Yorker, Dr. Melaine Ryobe, is joining us. She's a holistic blend of Eastern and Western medicine, functional medicine. She's an anti-aging expert. She's an author. She's the medical director of the Ryobe Institute, and she was a previous guest of mine. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. It's great to be here.
I'm really glad you're back. Give us a little bit of a quickie background of you and what you're doing now with the holistic blend of Eastern and Western medicine with you and your institute.
Sure. Yeah. I was a board-certified OBGYN, and I've maintained my board certification, and I've also become certified in the newly accepted field of integrative medicine, which is a more holistic, natural system that looks at root causes to prevent diseases. So I blend East and West, also having studied traditional Chinese medicine for 5 years. So I've been practicing for a little over 20 years now and doing only holistic medicine for over a decade now.
You know, it's interesting. As I have an associate who's a Chinese medicine acupuncturist probably a dozen years. But sometimes the irony, when I wrote an article about Dr. Lee, it was called Acupuncture, 4,000 Years Old and Still a Secret. You know, the idea that, you know, the brand new integrative medicine, when we're talking about some of these very, very ancient methodologies. And sports medicine, of course, has really, really been involved in the mixture of the Eastern and Western medicine. You know, our society, like I complain all the time on the Sports Doctor, I'll call you Dr. Malin, that we're deluged with drug ads and TV drug ads, and everybody is, you know, think there's a pill for everything. Right. So the functional approach, getting to the root cause, of course, which is pardon the pun, why I'm telling you to take a look at their foot type and consider orthotics. Right?
Right.
Yes. Yep. The root cause, your foundation. So the again, you're a board certified OB-GYN, and I know in your background, you were really interested in getting away from what you called a lot of cookie cutter medicine, right?
Yeah, you bet. You know, the one size fits all brand of medicine just doesn't work. And then the idea of prevention being the prevention of death from diseases just doesn't work. That's why we have more and more diseases. So we've got to move our paradigm to the prevention of diseases as opposed to death.
Right.
Doesn't work.
Now, the exploding world of anti-aging medicine, one of my longtime colleagues, Dr. Bob Goldman, I think he initiated that whole anti-aging 20-something years ago, and whatever the mixture, as an OB-GYN, woman's expert, or hormonal interests and some of these other aspects that you mix into, you know, you make a big deal out of anti-aging. I love that part. You mentioned anti-aging is an inside job, you know,
yes.
as compared to the cosmetic
yeah,
world.
Yeah.
yeah. When I hear those kinds of thoughts, of course, I always ask you, you know, how's your psychology and skills with dealing with patients?
That's our main skill, right? Because behavior modification, that's what it's all about, keeping people committed, getting them to understand that everything is from the inside out. You can patch up your skin all you want. It's just going to fall apart if the inside doesn't reflect, you know, true health.
Well, especially since we are, again, we're deluged, if it's not medicine ads. And what's interesting is the United States is one of only two countries in the world that allows television advertising. It's funny, I had a dancer's podiatrist on the show a month or so ago from New Zealand. And New Zealand's the other country that allows the advertising of, you know, of television,
wow.
of drugs. Well, you know, I could give you four theme songs right now, you know, from some of the drug advertisements. It's really, really, stuff is effective.
Yeah.
It really, really is effective. So, and I'm sure you pay major attention to the combination of, you know, exercise on the left and nutrition on the right.
Without a doubt, you know, nutrition probably being a little bit more heavily emphasized. But yeah, they're pretty close to being about 50-50. It's all about your lifestyle. It's about what you put in. What you put in is what you get out, literally, figuratively. You know, it's just the bottom line. All this anti-aging, all these newfangled drugs for anti-aging, what we're finding out is they don't work. And what works is good old-fashioned proper eating and lifestyle modification. We're always trying to find these shortcuts, and then we find out that they simply don't work. They look good in the beginning, and then after a while, we see all these side effects and problems from these medications. And it just boils down to lifestyle at the end of the day. That's what keeps your genes healthy. That's what keeps you from aging. There's no drug that's going to replace that.
And what's interesting, of course, is people want to stay active as long as they can, aging gracefully.
Yeah.
One of my guests a few weeks ago, she, you know, talking about living to be 100 and, you know, living healthy longer. And it gets right back again to that combination of the eating well, keeping moving, and being able to balance some of those different areas. And what's amazing, and we're talking with Dr. Melaine Ryobi, the functional medicine, integrative medicine. Where are you? Are you in New York?
I wish I were in New York. No, I'm down in Florida, but New York is my mecca.
Okay, good.
I'm down in Jupiter, Florida.
Okay, yeah, the two of us work on our accents, you know what I mean? But you're down there
yes.
in Florida, really. She's a smart
yeah.
girl in that regard.
I'm from
but
New York,
Here we are with all of this information, all this tremendous awareness. You know, I've been talking about childhood obesity on the Sports Doctor for 20 years, give or take a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a clinic on every corner. There are gyms everywhere you look. Yet the reality is between whether it's adult obesity or the diabetes, everywhere you look is diabetes. And the reality is financially it'll break us. We can't afford to take care of all of these people, all of these secondary, but we're still stuck with the amount of obesity and these lifestyle. Again, you hit it, the lifestyle. That's why, again, you know, the idea of being a good psychologist where people have to be motivated. And again, I'm sure when you're talking about a population that's looking to be anti-aging, they're very, very, very active. And again, we start to see,
yeah.
you know, some of the, I was just talking about overuse injuries in youth sports, and that regard. How does I would assume that you have a good marriage with the cosmetic surgery world. Or is it a little rough?
Yes and no, you know. Yeah, yes and no. You know, we don't quite mesh together very, very well. But, yeah, I'm not against it. But I recommend that people do other things first. It's a tool, yeah.
yeah.
But if you don't have that foundation, you know, you're going to have plastic surgery till the end of time, and you're not going to look, you know, the way that you want to look. You know,
how
but getting back
deal?
To childhood obesity, if I may.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, please. Go
yeah,
ahead.
What I was going to say. Yeah, what I was going to say is the Environmental Working Group back in 2005 put out a report, and what they saw is that our unborn children, like so our kids aren't even being born on in a level playing field, which is why they're running into this childhood obesity issue. They are exposed to over 200 chemicals while they're still in their mother's wombs, 180
point.
Of which are known to cause cancer. So these kids are born at a significant deficit, and sometimes the obesity issue isn't always a lifestyle. They're born with broken metabolisms.
That's an interesting...
So they don't even have a chance.
Yeah, that really, again, that's an interesting point. It's the idea that even in that regard, you know, again, we get back sometimes to this point, which is we all knew. Junk food was junk, and fast mm-hmm. food was still junk. What we didn't know was that the all-American diet was something that was going to keep people healthy. We had no idea that this was, you know, a total fabrication and myth in so many different ways. Low fat, no fat, 40, you know, again, if there mm-hmm. are a lot of drug commercials, there are probably just as many diet commercials.
Yeah.
And the idea, though, that you throw this, right? But you throw this other point,
yeah.
which is I've never thought about that, the fact of already yeah. with the metabolism of pregnant moms with the years of what's gone into their systems, having some sort of who knows what, it definitely is something to think about. The idea of also where schools have been cutting back on physical activities. How big a deal is hormones in the world of all of this and good health? And when do you start paying attention with young women regarding the hormonal balance and even some of your other anti-aging worlds? How big a deal are the hormones?
They're a fairly big deal. They're not as big as nutrition. Because if you have bad nutrition, it's going to be really hard to balance your hormones. But hormones are critically important because they're blueprints, basically, for all of body function. So we need our hormones from puberty to death, basically, for every body function you can imagine. So we focus very heavily, especially on the younger women, on the adrenal system, which is the stress handling system, which is responsible for making several of our hormones. In addition to the ovaries in the women and the testes in our male clients, so the adrenal system and the thyroid system are the two.
You know, one of the things I have a
critical.
Question. Yes. By the way, everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Go to radio shows. You can go back years, and you could pick and choose what you might like to listen to. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Doc Radio. Dr. Ryobe, what's your website with you and in your books and your institute?
Yes, it's ryobeintegrativemedicine.com, and Ryobe is spelled R-I-O, B as in boy, E as in Edward. You can find our books there, The Tao of Integrative Medicine and The Answer to Cancer, and a list of our services.
I'm going to talk more about your books. We're going to be back. Everybody, it's The Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated.
check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Sports doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. Integrative medicine, living longer, holistic blending, Eastern and Western medicine. We're talking with Melaine Riobe. She's down in Florida, but she's a New Yorker. The Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine. She's the medical director. And we were talking before the break about the importance of hormones. We were talking about diet. I want to ask you about your book. I'm a huge fan of the Tao and the whole meaning. And you've got the Tao as the title of one of your books, isn't it?
Yes, the Tao of Integrative Medicine.
Yes.
The Path to Prevention.
Yes, the path in so many different ways. And the idea many times of prevention, trying to stay out of trouble. And this shift that you're such a big part of to this big-time inclusion of so-called Eastern medicine. You know, some of my colleagues years ago, the term was alternative medicine, and then people said, what are you talking about? It's not either or. This is a combination.
Yeah.
I used to call it complementary. You know, you've have integrative, but this blend of being able to take advantage, you know, whether it's herbal medicine, whether it's the mixed meditation. We talk a lot on the Sports Doctor, Dr. Riobe, about the mindfulness and the mind-body connection. How does that fit into your approach when you're talking with your patients?
We start all of our evaluations with a traditional Chinese medicine evaluation, or the four examinations, as they call it. And that helps us to find out the root causes with a brief exam. So now you have the empowerment of knowing the causes of someone's symptoms before you've ever done any testing.
What is
and
that?
What is this evaluation?
What is this four-point evaluation? Just briefly.
Yes. Sure. So you observe the client first. You see, you know, do they look kind of pale, quiet? Are they boisterous? What do they look like? And then smell. Are there any particular odors that you can pick up? And then you do a symptom inventory where you ask them a series of questions trying to form patterns according to Chinese medicine theory. And then you confirm those patterns by looking at the tongue and feeling the pulses. So whether someone's tongue is swollen or thin or has teeth marks, whether it's pale or red, whether there's a coating on it, the color of the tongue, all that tells us something. And then in Chinese medicine, there are 29 different pulse patterns that we can look for that confirm the underlying causes of their symptoms or a condition.
Right. They give you,
so you
give
have
you the real deep insight.
Right off the bat.
Now, it's interesting.
Yes, you
I
have it right off
feel,
the bat.
I always just used to feel, again, that Eastern medicine was really like acupuncture. We were looking at the body as an energy system, as compared to this biochemical system in American medicine. And, you know, of course, but Chinese medicine is a lot more than just acupuncture, of course, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's Chinese herbal remedies. It's very spiritual. It really is more like quantum physics than our conventional medicine, which is more like Newtonian physical physics. And given what we know today, you know, that only about 1% of the universe is something physical that can be identified as physical, if we're only looking at conventional medicine and the physical parts, we're missing 99% of the story. So Chinese medicine fills that 99% in very well, as does functional medicine to a limited degree. So we combine both, and we find that we get really good results when we do that.
Where does energy medicine fit in, if at all? Again, I've had a lot of feedback on the Sports Doctor over the years with experts in various areas, as again the mind and body were being blended in various areas, the idea of energy medicine per se.
Yes, definitely. Well, Chinese medicine is an energy-based system, and given what we know today, feelings and thoughts are what create our physical reality. So what we feel that results in the thoughts that we get filter down through the body, creating all kinds of chemical reactions within the body, and they can either create health or disease, depending on which thoughts you choose to have. So behavior modification and clearing out a lot of negative thinking patterns that we develop as children. You know, we hear things, we experience things. These things get somewhat hardwired as our brains are growing. And then we keep looping those thoughts over and over. So we know that 95% of our thoughts are subconscious. They're not even within our control.
We become what we think about. One of the famous quotes of all time. What ages do you pay attention to, you know, besides general population? Are you involved in the adolescent population?
Yes. What usually happens is my clients would like to bring their children in, and they vary in age from anywhere from 9 to, you know, 17.
Yeah. Have them all balanced. Mm-hmm. Have them all balanced on one foot, Dr. Yobe.
Right. And, you know, I really like to start before the ladies are pregnant, you know, so at zero age is where I really like to start, getting to the mom before she gets pregnant and getting her body as healthy as possible so that that baby is not exposed to 180 known cancer-causing agents before birth.
And where do you find, where does, you know, again, that the pediatric or the obstetric population of physicians, I would say, you know, this makes so much sense. And I would assume that, again, you're an educator. Welcome to the team.
Thank you. Yes, it's all about education and spreading the word. Absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity.
Well, you're very, very welcome. And again, being an MD yourself and, you know, being a board certified OB-GYN, you bring all of that background and legitimacy to being able to accept, being open-minded to accept some of these other areas. And I think then again, sometimes MDs, of course, who 25 years ago didn't know how to spell wellness. Gee, does it have one L or two, Dr. Bob? Right? I mean, really, let alone,
right.
And a lot of my chiropractic friends that we've really featured for years in so many areas, when it came to nutrition and exercise, they were way ahead from general medicine.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, when's the last GP that you saw included a massage therapist in their practice? Never in that regard. So the ability to come from the so-called normal American medical system, I think, allows for a lot more maybe open-mindedness. Again, sports medicine falls right smack in the middle of what you're talking about when we're interested in recovery and we're interested, like in my first segment, if you listen to it, the fact that ice is worthless for healing anything.
Yes.
And
Chinese medicine thing. Yeah.
Yes. Really. you know, and again, whether we're interested in, again, the high performance of the best athlete in the country or we're interested in their grandmother. And we just want to be able to maybe stay healthy. You know, podiatry is in the middle of preventing falling. I can't believe we've flown through the time here. Dr. Yobe, give me the website again of your, so that people can find out about your books as well as the Institute.
Yes, it's RyobeIntegrativeMedicine.com. And again, Ryobe is spelled R-I-O-B as in boy, E as in Edward.
Great. Okay, I want you to hold on real quickly. Everybody will be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment. Dr. Ryobe, thank you very much. Hold on. everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, flying back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and welcome. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. We answer some emails. We give you a heads up with a couple of upcoming shows with some of our guests. Next week, one of the premier podiatric foot ankle surgeons locally here, Dr. Joe George, will be joining us and his Orthopedic Institute. And then VJ Stanley, Balanced Excellence. He's been a coach for years at all sorts of levels in hockey and football, and he really, really is an advocate for the balancing of the mental side as well as the physical side in youth sports. Following week, speaking of youth sports, Gordon McKellen, parents and sports, that whole topic, sports and parents. Gordon will chip in on his stuff. And then sports chiropractic physician locally here, Dr. Brian Damhoff, been on before. He'll be coming back. So some great stuff coming up over the next couple of weeks. And where is the emails here? Here we are. Mark, what's your take, Dr. Bob, on barefoot running? You know, it's been around for a while now, Mark. The hoopla started with a couple of different books that were written. And for years, my mentor and colleague, Bob Guida, who was trainer of champions, and always wanted his athletes, including some barefoot running on maybe a golf course, maybe on the beach, in order to really work those foot muscles. But the idea of jogging and running distances barefoot was something that over the past, gosh, it's been maybe 10, 15 years. And as a rule, besides it being a problem regarding stepping on something, also mechanically, we started seeing problems. So it's for the elite runner who wants to include barefoot running. And barefoot running has metamorphosized into the minimalist shoe world, where we have minimal running shoe in weight, in stability, in control. Some people really like them. compared to the traditional running shoe, which has got a more traditional support system. And the same advice, Mark, which would be if, in fact, you're looking to use minimalist shoes and you are a jogger or a runner, you want to make a gradual change. If you've got a history of lower extremity problems, I don't recommend it. We do see more trouble with minimalist shoes than regular running shoes in general. So then we start getting individual and specific. Sheila says, I am an adult ice dancer. I want to ask you about custom boots and orthotics. Both are key, Sheila, if you are serious about your sport and you want to be able to be the best you could be. Custom boots really are about fit. My longtime colleague, John Hermata, Mr. Edge, has written for years his book, Anatomy of a Figure Skating Injury, which I participated in, and his many, many articles in the magazines, the importance of custom. And fit, of course, is key. So ideally, custom gives us that gold program. Orthotics, when done properly, Sheila, has been something that's excited me for decades. Again, I mentioned earlier in the show, Olympic gold medalist Evan Lysacek, who grew up here in the Naperville, Illinois area. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. I was already putting orthotics in skates for 10 years before I saw him. The great coach Candy Brown and some of her great skaters. And Evan went on to be the gold medalist in 2010. And I continue to use orthotics aggressively in young adolescent boys and girls and adults when we're looking for optimum alignment, proper joint positioning. In general, somebody can get away with something like a super feed or something that the boot fitter might want to recommend for you, but it's not optimum when we're talking about alignment. So we've seen improved edging. I've seen improved balance. I've seen improved speed, jumping power. I've never had a coach in all these years call me and say, Dr. Bob, you messed up the kids' balance. You slowed them down. Ever. What I have heard for years is this kid could do what they couldn't do before. So look seriously at orthotics, but you got to see a sports podiatrist who knows figure skating. Tom says, I've read a lot about heads-up football. My son is 10 years old. You know, I'm going to stop you right there, Tom. Right now, one of the biggest dilemmas we've got in our society is what the heck are we going to do about youth tackle football, let alone adult tackle football? There is no safe tackle football. Heads up, pays attention to different kinds of tackling technique to try to keep the head out of the game. But the impact of the head ain't the problem, Tom. The problem is the slamming around of the brain when you hit the ground, when you collide with an opposing player, whether you're tackled, et cetera. And if I'm a parent or a grandparent, I don't want my son playing tackle football. I would now, if he loves it, then it's really, I might compromise. I sure wouldn't do it at 10 years old. At the earliest, I would be thinking high school age, and even then, it's a crapshoot. So heads-up football, for the most part, is baloney. There is no safe tackle football. Paying attention, though, to rules changes, other things. Everybody's been trying their darndest to try to make it safer. Helmets, proper helmets are very, very important. All the equipment is very important. But helmets basically will protect us against a skull fracture. It's not going to give us the kind of protection against slamming around in that particular area. Quickly, Adam says, my daughter is a serious ballet dancer. She's 11 years old. Should she be on point? Depends on the individual and on the individual foot type. Be very, very careful. You want to be able to say growth is about over. You might need another year or two. See podiatry. Pay attention. Wow, we're out of time. We'll catch everybody next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. It's the Sports Doctor.